Well, God, we ask that you fill us with your presence this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might continually bear fruit in keeping with repentance so that we may lead a life pleasing to you. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our meditation this morning is based on the gospel lesson that was just read from Luke chapter 3. So now we're in the season of Advent, the 4 weeks that are leading up to Christmas. The word Advent, coming from the Latin Adventus, means coming or arrival. It's a time of great anticipation. And in our gospel this morning, all the people of Judea came out to hear John the Baptist. They were all anticipating that something was going to happen. The Messiah was going to come. And John went in through all the region of the Jordan, proclaiming the baptism for the forgiveness of sins, preparing the people for the Lord's coming. And you know, some of the people thought that John was the Messiah. But John said to them, no. I'm preparing for the one who is to come. As we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning, I am the voice, one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, John was saying, clear the way, get ready. For someone great is coming. It's like preparing for a dignitary or when the President of the United States is coming to visit. There's great preparation. There has to be a lot of security measures that have to take place. But there's also great anticipation. In the same way, John is calling the people to prepare for the Messiah. The one who was coming that was greater than he. The one who was to bring salvation to the world. He was calling people to repent, which means a change of heart. A commitment to holy living. In other words, things aren't going to be the same anymore. Then John lowers the boom in verse 7. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come. The axe is already laid to the root of the tree. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Boy, John didn't mince words. He was rough, tough. You know, he's the guy dressed in a camel hair. He didn't have any robes on like this. He ate locusts and wild honey. But he was very blunt when he spoke. I don't think he would be very popular today. He wouldn't be in vogue. He would be called all kinds of names. But he spared no one who was half-hearted about turning around their lives. Those who thought they could just show up and listen to a few messages and everything would be okay. I could go on living the way I want. Or those that thought they didn't need to hear about sin or turning back to God. And even the religious people came and looked at John with disdain. Who is this guy? How dare he say these things? But John says, you bunch of snakes, who warned you to flee from the coming judgment? These are some very harsh words, right? I would think they're very harsh words. They're harsh words for the people then, and they're harsh words for us today. We don't like to hear about wrath and judgment. We don't like to hear that we are those slippery snakes that John talks about. That we could do anything to get out of following God's ways, doing our own thing, never stopping to think about ourselves and putting ourselves first. Those slippery snakes that are cold or lukewarm at best. No sense of what it means maybe to be loyal or committed. Kind of always looking for a way out. Something of ourselves. putting us first. But you know what? Sometimes these are the harsh words that we need. Harsh words are God's law that shows us who we really are. Harsh words prick our consciences. They show us our guilt and our shame. Harsh words challenge us to take a long look at ourselves and what's happening in our priorities in our lives. Harsh words knock us down from our pride, shock us into seeing that there is plenty of room for change. I know there is in my life. And sometimes we think that what's being said, oh, that doesn't refer to me. John's words are for those real sinners, those unconverted, those that are really bad people. I mean, not like us. We attend church, we help out, we worship, and sometimes we're on all our committees. And we might even say to ourselves, well, I hope so-and-so is listening. They need to take this seriously. You see, I'm a polite sinner. I just do polite sins. I'm not really like those others. And harsh words sometimes are needed to get us through that false image of who we have of ourselves. Harsh words are needed to get us to realize the need for repentance, to renounce our sinful selves. And I got a news flash for you. There is no such thing as polite sinners. There's just sinners separated from God and under God's wrath. That's what John is saying here. And Paul says in our epistle reading this morning, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness they suppress the truth. In other words, God's wrath is upon all who sin and fall short of his glory. And that includes you and me. Brothers and sisters, I don't think we understand the depth and depravity of our sin and our need for a Savior and how we offend a holy God. You know, I was happened to watch some of the Lake and Riley trial on television. And Lake and Riley was that young woman who was brutally murdered. And as she was out jogging, and the attacker came and tried to rape her. And then as she was trying to get away, she fought, she kicked, and he took a rock and smashed her head 6-7 times, and they could even play it was so gross they could even play the tape of the last moments of her life. And people were saying, and you could look at the young man there that did this, and people were looking, what an animal. That person deserves to die. And not only that, he was an illegal immigrant. Oh my gosh. Those illegal immigrants. And we sit and we just get rage over this. And then I was thinking, do you know what? In God's eyes, that young man is you and me. That's the offense because of our sin. And I kind of just wrap my mind around that and say, oh, Lord God, that's me. Am I offending you? You know, because we have a perception sometimes of what right and what our wrong is, but in God's holiness, we don't stand a chance. We're like that Lake and Riley's killer. And then in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, Isaiah has a vision. And he's before the presence of God. And, you know, you would think Isaiah's a pretty righteous guy, right? He's a prophet. He's, you know, kind of held in high honor, has God's. And Isaiah sees this and he says, woe is me. Oy vey, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm just coming undone. I can't stand in this presence of God. Because of God's holiness. And Isaiah understood the depth, depravity of his sin. And then an angel took a coal from the altar and touched his lips, Isaiah's lips, and said, "Your sin is atoned for." But he understood how holy God is. And we need to understand that too. There are no such thing as polite sinners. That's why John's words, harsh words, jolt us in this season of peace and joy. Harsh words hurt, but at the same time, harsh words are good news because they lead us back to God. His stern words were turning over the soil of the human heart, making it ready for a Savior. That's why we need a Savior. We need a Savior because by ourselves, we're totally lost under his wrath. And it's easy sometimes to forget why Advent and Christmas are so important. How Advent is about preparing our hearts for the coming Savior, not only what he has done, but that he is coming back again. And that we continually do that by confessing our need for a Savior and a change of heart. I know I do every day. And this is not a static event. We need a Savior every day because we still sin and we need his forgiveness. You see, God's anger, his holy, righteous punishment against sin didn't vanish. Well, you know, you made a few mistakes, Adam and Eve, and we'll just sweep it under the rug. No. Justice. God could not be just unless his justice was satisfied. And that's why Jesus came, to satisfy that punishment for sin, that awful thing that Lake and Riley's killer did, that you and I did before a holy God, because we certainly could not pay that price. That's why God sent Jesus. God himself became man, lived among us, showed us what God was like, showed us his kingdom. He was the perfect human that you and I were intended to be and that we will be someday. Then he became the perfect sacrifice for sin by dying on a cross. You see, God loved us so much, he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, what does that mean? Propitiation means God deflected his anger towards us and directed it toward Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross, he took all of your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world on himself. Can you imagine that? When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When all of a sudden God turned his back on him because he was bearing our punishment. The Bible says at the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, which is you and me. And that by faith in him, we have now been made right with God by his blood shed on the cross. How much more then will we be saved from his wrath? Boy, that's good news. Let that sink in. Our Savior came to take our place, the place of evildoers, like Lake and Riley's killer, and you and me. Martin Luther said in one of his writings, I think this is cool, the Father sent his Son into the world, heaped all the sins of all men upon himself on the cross, and said to him, "Be Peter, the denier, Paul, the persecutor, the murderer, be David, the adulterer. Be the thief on the cross. Be the person of," and then you insert your own name. In short, be the person of all people who have committed the sins of all men. And see to it that you make satisfaction for those sins. You know, John says at the end of our gospel, "I baptize you with water, But the one more powerful than I will come, whose thongs is sandals, I'm unworthy to untie for a moment. Because God has claimed you in baptism, you are being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into repentance this Advent season and enables us to turn from sin. What Jesus has done for you enables us to repent, to come to Him for complete forgiveness. He's the one that cleans away the garbage in our lives and enables us to live a life pleasing to Him. It's not what we do. It's not us putting on our own show. It's turning to Christ. He clears the way and He gives us His righteousness. When we come to this table to receive the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus, to receive the gift of forgiveness all of our sins, and given salvation. It's the spiritual medicine for the sin-sick soul. And I don't know how many of you realize at the beginning of our service, what do? We go confess our sins, right? And we receive baptism. That's not just some rote religious exercise. Do you realize what's happening when we do that? I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And we're laying all our hearts open before God. And then when the pastor stands up and says, you are forgiven. That is awesome. He's delivered the goods. Your guilt, your shame is taken away. That's just not something rote. Think about that next time. Every worship service, when we come into that time of confession, and when that absolution comes, oh, that's soothing medicine too, because everything is wiped away clean. Because God doesn't see your sin, but He sees the righteousness of Jesus on you. You see, repentance is turning to Christ by daily death and resurrection. It's a putting to death of the old self and putting the new self on in the image of Christ. And when you hear those words of absolution and forgiving, you've just put on the new self. Now go in peace. That's why John is saying we need to continually bear fruit in keeping with repentance. That's the preparation John's talking about. This is what Advent means. Brothers and sisters, we have been given a great gift by the mercy of God. So let us this holiday season continually turn to Christ, focusing on what He did for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise.